One morning, I got a phone call from a mate. The surf is going off. I thought, just give it everything I've got. And I give it everything, and I just punch through the lip and just get to the other side. And bang, I get this pain right in my chest, down my left arm, in my shoulder blade. And I'm going, man, pushed it a bit too hard there. I pulled a muscle. Went home, had a shower, came down, sat down to do some paperwork. That's when it happened. It really happened.
Yeah.
I sit down and I get this crushing pain in the chest. You know that feeling? You know, I don't know, when you were a kid, you know, I used to have mates or siblings, they'd sit on my chest and you just couldn't get them off.
Oh, when you play stacks on. Yeah.
You got it. You got it. And I get this pain in my chest, this cold sweat, this nausea, and I had no idea really what was happening.
That is chef and wellness coach Adam Guthrie. And this is part one of episode 270 of the Osh Against Burke podcast. Welcome to the Osh Ginsberg podcast. I'm Osh Ginsberg. I'm so glad you're here. This is episode 270 with chef, wellness coach, and all-round wise human Adam Guthrie. He's a fascinating cat. You can find out more about him on Instagram, Adam Guthrie, G-U-T-H-R-I-E. Also, find out what he's up to at ifeelgood.com.au. More about Adam in a moment. If you're new to the show, if you're new to this podcast, let me tell you what's happening here. This podcast, really simple. It's a weekly conversation. It's a conversation that you get to be a part of, and it's hopefully designed to help you make today better than yesterday. That's it. That's it. Sometimes a chat will be with someone that you know. Sometimes it'll be with someone that you don't know. No matter what, I guarantee it. I guarantee that you'll hear something in the next little while that you go, oh, right, yes, I could. Yes, that will incorporate well into what I'm doing with my day, and that could indeed make today better than yesterday. And that's it. That's all we're trying to do here. That's all we're trying to do. Thank you so much for all the lovely messages about our news here at the ranch. If you missed last week's show, Audrey and I are expecting. It's a whole new world. It's a world full of surprise naps and insatiable desire for pickles. Yeah, pickles. Audrey just wants to eat pickles, which is fine. My mum wanted to eat pickles. I wonder if there's something in that. We went and had a fantastic lunch the other day at this joint in Bondi, vegan Lebanese street food. Let me tell you, the pickle situation there is bacow. Audrey was like, I could eat this all the time. It was really good. Really, really good. Yeah, she wants to eat pickles and have naps, which is fine. And you know, obviously, like I mentioned last week, I'm a little like, what do I do? But this is a world that has been inhabited by billions of people who've done this before us. So we should be right. I think, speaking of which, I think for me, the nicest thing about announcing, I guess, the pregnancy, for close people to us have known, but announcing it publicly was the amount of men that I know, men who reached out to say, basically, the texts all basically said the same thing. They said, mate, I'm so happy for you. This will be the greatest thing that ever happens in your life. Now, I'm talking about guys whose number I've got in my phone, might not have talked to them in a little while, but guys who are heavy hitters in their fields, right? Guys who I'd consider astronomically successful. And they're saying that a child is the greatest thing that's ever happened to them, which is really nice. I'm really excited about that. It's a really nice thing to hear. It makes me feel a little safer too, because no matter what problems we encounter, me and Audrey and Jeet, no matter what, someone somewhere has been there before us. And that's some great peace of mind, isn't it? Which I guess that's the same for everything, really. A lot of lovely feedback about the Alan Sparks episode last week. Thanks very much to everybody that kicked in for that. It's been one of my favorite episodes. He's an incredibly inspiring man. I'm very grateful to the words that people sent me on the DMs and also the emails. I'm glad that episode resonated with so many people. Just a quick plug, if you happen to be on the eastern seaboard of Sydney or eastern seaboard of Australia, Sydney or Melbourne this week, the School of Life are putting on a night in each city where I'll be delivering a keynote about vulnerability. And then I'm in conversation with the delightful Sean Pryor before a bit of Q&A. We're in Sydney on Tuesday night and Melbourne on Thursday night. That's tomorrow night and Thursday night. ever so looking forward to speaking and meeting everybody. It's a real honor to be asked to speak on vulnerability. I see vulnerability as somewhat of a superpower. I see it like strength, courage, and wisdom all wrapped up into one. And to be honest, the biggest catapults forward in my life have happened when I've chosen to be vulnerable. And I'm very much looking forward to sharing what I've learned, hopefully connect on some level and engage in conversation with you if you're going to come along. Tickets you can get, I'll put the link at oshaginsberg.com. Just go there, you'll see a link to the School of Life gigs. So, how are you? How are you? How's the kids? How's the job? How's the tidying? How's the routine? How's the work on yourself that you do each day? Are you doing the work? Because I will ask you, when we meet each other, I'll ask if you're doing the work. No one's going to make life better for you. No one's going to process the things that happen to you and make sense of them for you and then put them in a place that you can access and then create new ways to think about things when triggers pop up for you. No one's going to do that for you. You get to do that yourself, which is good because that's kind of more powerful when it's yours. I was talking to a mate the other day. He was asking about meds and we were sitting there watching the surf and at the time I said to him, if managing the brain you've got so that you can live a fulfilling life for yourself and others is surfing, right, then meds is a surfboard. You may want to go surfing and I can give you a surfboard. But if you want to surf, you're going to have to get yourself to the beach, paddle out into the possibly cold water, cop a few sets on the head as you paddle hard and bash through the waves to get out the back, stay paddling to be in position for when the wave comes, and then paddle hard and commit to the scary drop when it's time to catch a wave. And then you get to turn around and do it all over again. That's the same thing with meds. You can take meds. But committing to doing the work every day, making sure you're eating, sleeping, behaving, acting, and reacting with a deliberate course of improvement for yourself and those around you, that's the work. And in my experience, that's where control starts to come back into your life and the changes start to happen. But it's every day. It's every day. At first, it sucks. After a while, you get better at it. And in my experience, I can tell you the work is worth it because when you think about it, Who wouldn't want to go surfing every day? Huh? And some days I don't want to do the work, but if I make it a habit, make it a part of my day, it becomes automatic. Shit, I've got a brain that likes compulsive, repetitive behavior, so I may as well use it for something.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So let me tell you about my guest this week. Adam Guthrie is a chef and wellness coach that splits his time fantastically between Byron Bay and Bali. Nice. His story is really interesting. He was living a life chasing what he thought was success. And at the frighteningly young age of 39, Adam suffered a heart attack. Unlike many men who simply take the stent, take the meds and don't change their diet and they just stay on this downward spiral, Adam made a lasting commitment to change and, as he describes, managed to get off his heart medication through taking a path of more physical activity and a whole food plant-based diet. But he didn't just do a little bit of exercise. Adam worked his way through subtle daily increases all the way to training for and competing in and completing an Ironman. Adam's story is one of incredible inspiration of, to be honest, a healthcare system that mightn't be open to solutions that are right in front of our eyes. It's a story of self-discovery, forgiveness and compassion for one's own past, and a commitment to sharing the joy of his new life with others. You can find out more about what Adam is doing at ifeelgood.com.au. He's also on Instagram, Adam Guthrie, AdamGuthrie. Please enjoy part one of my conversation with Adam Guthrie.
Adam, thanks for coming, mate.
Pleasure.
I'm really grateful you're here.
So am I.
Thank you so much for making the journey. I know you traveled to be here today. And I was just saying before that just before I live around the corner and just as I left my wife who was out walking the dog, I was like, honey, can you throw some chickpeas in the pressure cooker? So that's like such a vegan conversation. So, just throw some chickpeas in the pressure cooker so we have something to have for lunch.
That's where we met.
That's how we met.
A pressure cooker.
Over a pressure cooker. What was I doing? I was asking if it's a good idea to buy a pressure cooker.
Yeah, my wife was in a Facebook group that you were in and she said, oh, well, we were given one of those, but they're not really a pressure cooker. Try a real pressure cooker. I think she said, by the way, go and check out my husband's website. He's got a few good vegan recipes on there.
Yes, we did.
And then I got an email from you.
Yeah, and now here we are.
We are.
And now here we are. But yeah, it took me a little while to get the pressure cooker over the line because we live in an apartment roughly 1.5 times the size of this room that we're sitting in. So storage space for kitchen appliances is limited. And I've already blown my load on an air fryer, which, as you know, is not a small thing. No. So it took me a little while, a bit of reconfiguring, but boy, howdy. Because my wife's Fijian. Once she figured out that, I can make dal in 30 minutes.
Totally, dal in 30 minutes. You can cook your lentils and legumes and freeze them. Have you got freezer space?
again, small house, small freezer. But yeah, going from zero to hero on the chickpeas, going from hard chickpeas to, oh my God, this is the best salad I've ever eaten in half an hour.
It's incredible.
So much better than getting it out of the can and way cheaper.
Oh man, you save a lot of money.
It's so cheap to eat this way. People ask me all the time, I'm like, beans and rice are not expensive.
That's right.
And it's got pretty much everything you need. Yeah. But I'm great.
And leafy greens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. But I'm really grateful that you're here today. Your story is, a cracking story. There's a lot of people. I've been only recently, like in the last, 6 months or so, have I been talking about the way I've been eating off the back of the men's health thing mainly. Because, it kind of rubbed me a little associating with saying the word vegan, you know. It rubbed me a little because there's some people who use that as a badge of militancy, and I don't relate to that. For me, it kind of flies in the face of the compassion that I'm trying to live.
I get you.
And,
totally get you.
And being mean to other people or, tearing other people down for their personal choices, I can't vibe with. So I started saying, I'm just plant-based. I tried to avoid it, you know what I mean? But in recent months, I've kind of been talking about it.
Yeah, well, I think it's good that you are because, it is a very compassionate way of living. And I also vibe the same way as you do with the activism around vegan and what's associated with that.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I'm vegan is because of having a heart attack. But I became vegetarian when I was 21 and I became vegetarian because of compassion and spiritual reasons. So my whole basis of really being plant-based is from compassion.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. It's so nice to live a life that nothing has to suffer because nothing suffers. You know, your body improves with health and the planet, you're doing good for the planet, the least amount of global warming.
Yeah.
And nothing suffers. No animal has to die.
Yeah.
And just good karma comes back to you when you eat this way, man.
Yeah. And you look, two of those three things you can get a lot of people over the line with.
Yeah.
Like when I talk about the amount of water it takes to make a kilo of animal protein versus a kilo of plant protein.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you just put it in like, look, you're a business person. You make, what if you needed 15,000 liters of a raw material to make your product, a kilo of your product versus 1,200 liters of a raw material to make a kilo of your product? Which would you choose? It's, you know,
it's
you'd think it's a no-brainer. But then also from the, you know, environmental standpoint, which is how I came into it, and the compassionate, you know, I just didn't really want to eat anything that had lived. You know, we're so careful about don't eat food off the floor, or, you know, be careful about, you know, what you put in your mouth. Like, well, hang on a second. This chicken's lived in a cage. It's never seen the sun. It can't turn around. Do I really want to put that in my body? Probably not.
Mm.
So, no. And that's how it started for me. But you dropped something interesting there. So you were vegetarian, but you still had a heart attack. So talk to me about that. How did that happen? How did you be someone who's a vegetarian, which is often associated with a very healthy way of living? What happened?
What happened? It's a long journey.
That's all right. It's a podcast. It's what we're here for.
Yeah. When I became vegetarian when I was 21, and I was overweight and I was in a bad place when I was 21. I stopped drinking when I was 21. My 21st birthday was my last drink.
Wow.
I haven't had a drink since.
I wish. Good for you, man. Congratulations.
And it was a big night. And and then I was depressed. I went into a depression for about 3 months, and I just woke up drinking, went to bed drinking, woke up drinking, went to bed drinking. And then one night I was sitting in a pub in the corner by myself. I was super paranoid. Like I was sitting there and I thought every single person in this room is talking about me. You feel it?
Oh, mate, I know that so well.
Yeah, and it was a pretty bad point, and I thought, well, I left the pub, and I thought, I'm either going to wake up in the morning or I won't be here.
Yeah.
Yep. And I woke up in the morning, and it's still alive. And somebody mentioned a book, You Can Heal Your Life, by Louise Hay.
Oh, yeah.
Back to me then, and I grabbed that book, and my self-esteem was so low at that point. I remember going past Dimmicks trying to pick up the book, but because of the title, I thought people would think something's wrong with me, the checkout person. I picked up this book, and it took me 10 goes walking past the shop, went in, grabbed the book, put it down, not with a title, but down on the bench, slid it across and bought it. And then I took a month off work, and I just went through that book, exercise after exercise. Now, she was talking about working on your mind, your body, your soul. And I thought, this body's not in shape. I was overweight then. I was always really fit, 75, 80 kilos, loved sports, surfed every day. But for some reason around there, I put on a bit of weight. And
well, that drinking would do drinking it for would you. Do it.
Beers and T-bone steaks and chili sauce, man.
Yeah, I mean, with all that alcohol, hot chips. All that alcohol, you're throwing your hormones to the wind.
Yeah,
and your ability to build muscle is gone. And like, I know, certainly, I know. Like, I was drinking 2,000 calories a day towards the end when I was drinking like you were. Oh, easily. Mm. And then another dinner becomes a great idea when you come home from the pub or whatever.
Totally.
You know, so I certainly know all that.
Yeah,
I know. But that's a fascinating book. I remember reading that book.
Did you?
In the 90s, and if it's written in an easy, I mean, I've seen her speak, and I get it. She's a businesswoman. She's making money. I get it. Yeah. But the principles, I think, are I can vibe with it. You know, it's a good entry to, if you've never considered questioning your own way of life or questioning how you got where you are. It's an easy way in to that, which I liked.
Yeah, and it was my way in
to
a whole new different way of thinking.
Yeah.
So I followed that. So I thought, I better work on the body. Went and saw a naturopath, and she started, you know, giving me some supplement, and I started, and Louise Hay was talking about a plant-based diet predominantly. So I started eating that way. Felt amazing. You know, dropped a few kilos, felt good. Everything came together. So I continued that journey. I went traveling and came back to Australia, opened a vegetarian cafe.
What part of the country?
I grew up in Berry on the south coast. And I opened the cafe in Nowra, which is, at the time in the 93, it was it was a bit radical having a vegetarian cafe in Nowra, but it did well. We packed lines out the door every lunchtime. It was amazing. Nice. So we did that. I was a chef. I actually did that when I left school, became a chef. And so I had cafes, had a few cafes, went down the journey, stayed vegetarian. And then my parents were in real estate. They had an agency in Berry, and I joined them. And I really enjoyed that. And I became quite successful at that. But that journey where you're constantly giving and responding, there's just no space. And it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day just about. And you're on the road all the time. And I was chasing success. You know, I had a vision that I wanted to achieve.
Oh, you got a sniff of that commission money.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, another 100 acres is coming up. Exactly. I'll get my eye on that.
You got
okay.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And helping people, you
I
know,
can subdivide move that. Into
there. Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't go down that path. I wish I did.
You and me both.
Yeah. No, but we just help people, you know, predominantly from eastern suburbs and up and along the shore, buying weekenders or retiring down to Berry. Lifestyle properties.
Yeah.
So we did that. And during that period, I put on a lot of weight. And I went from 75, 80 kilos to 110 kilos because, you know, you pull in a service station, I'd buy a can of Coke, I'd buy a pack of chips, buy a chocolate bar.
It's vegetarian.
It's vegetarian, man.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's vegetarian. You know, there's no meat in that. Or you go into, you know, the Berry Bakery and you buy a vegetarian pasty and it's just full of saturated fats and, you know, it's terrible. So I put on all this weight. Eating and
you cracked the ton, didn't you?
110.
And you're just a little bit taller than me, so I got to 112.
That's, really?
When I was 17. Yeah.
How uncomfortable was it? Do you remember how
chub rub is not a nice thing in the warmth of the Queensland summer?
Yeah.
You know, you're walking like John Wayne because you know this isn't a time before. You know, athletic trousers that had kind of inbuilt skins inside them. Man, you couldn't find a pair of underpants that could protect your inner thighs from each other. It was terrifying.
It was terrifying. My thing was bending over trying to do up my laces.
Yeah.
And this gut was in my road and it was just so awkward. But and shirts, you know, not fitting and feeling
restricted.
Were
you in a relationship at the time?
Yeah, I've got an amazing relationship. I met my wife in the UK and she came back to Oz and we've been together.
And she was with you the whole time that you were putting on weight. What was she saying to you when you were eating this service station diet?
She didn't really comment,
actually.
No, my wife's a very special person. She's got an amazing soul and she sees people, you know, like she sees your soul and very little judgment from Rue. She's amazing and she's just so supportive. So that she didn't comment. And she's also, you know, I'm a bit of an alpha. So, you know, I do what I want to do and I go and chase what I want to chase.
Got it.
You know what I mean? So that we've got an incredible relationship and we've been together 28 years or something.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
It was great.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And so you're in this kind of high-stress job, terrible food.
Terrible food. And then, you know, when you want to achieve something, you get a picture of it and then you hit it and the painting's done. And then you go, you thought that was going to mean this. And then all of a sudden you go, after it wears off after a few weeks or a month, and you go, is this all there is? And that hit me in 2003. And I wasn't 110 kilos at that stage. I was probably 90s. And then I decided to change career and I left real estate and I started training and coaching and I couldn't work it out. You know, how
physical fitness training?
No, it was more business.
Oh, okay.
Business coaching and sales training.
Yeah.
And I actually couldn't work it out. And I had a year off And then I started, a bit of play around, because I'm starting to spend a bit of capital, and I couldn't work out how to generate enough income to pay my costs in doing that, which was really bizarre because I was, you know, it was really quite good in real estate. I had a nice income. It was in 2009. During that period, I became really stressed, almost went bankrupt. I didn't go bankrupt,
yeah,
but almost went. And at that point, that's when I was 110, eating a lot of rubbish. I'd be depressed and frustrated. I'd go and buy pizza every night with full of cheese. I'd go and eat. I'd been known to sit in a couch and eat an entire tub of ice cream. And then blocks of chocolate would come home and I'd eat a family block of chocolate just to squash the emotion and frustration and feeling of failure. Like I really felt I failed and I'd stuffed up, really stuffed up. And it was one morning I got a phone call from a mate and he said, Adam, the surf is going off. I'll meet you in the car park in 15 minutes. I was still surfing at that time. And went down to, it was in Gerringong, lived in Gerringong. And it was my mate who owns the surf shop down there, Natural Necessity, and Kent. And so I meet him in the car park, and like, it's full of people. And the ocean is like, it's 10 foot. No one's in the water. And he and I love big waves. And we just go, let's do it. So we just pull on the wetsuits and jump off the point. A few other guys follow us out. And I paddled into this first wave and it was amazing, you know, beautiful wall, surfed it almost to the beach and then pull off it and I see on this horizon this massive swell just starting to build and this set and I'm going, if I don't get over these waves, I'm going to be stuffed. Number one, I'm 110 kilos. Number two, I normally ride a short board, but I'm on a mahal because a long board because I'm, you know, I'm overweight. And
And there's a hard board to get through. You can't duck dive it.
You can't. No. So I gave it everything. I'm paddle, get over this first one, paddle, get over the second, paddle, just get over the third. And then this fourth one's like a mountain.
Oh, no.
And I'm fucking going, man. So I'm just paddle up it.
You're paddling uphill. Yeah, uphill. I know what it's,
you know
like.
What it's like.
Yeah, I know what
you
it's
surf?
Like. Yeah, yeah. I've talked about it. I was grateful, very grateful. I've once been to Chopu in Tahiti.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
yes.
And I remember saying, I know the feeling of like, I've never swum uphill. But then when the swell comes, you're like, there's that much water coming at you. You're like, I'm swimming uphill. This is weird.
Yeah.
But well, so you've got this wall of water in front of you, you've got rocks behind you. You're out of puff. You're far out, man.
I know, and I'm there, and it just starts to cool. I'm going, I am stuffed, like I'm fucked. And I thought, just give it everything I've got, and I give it everything, and I just punch through the lip and just get to the other side, and bang, I get this pain right in my chest, down my left arm, in my shoulder blade, and I'm going, man, like I pushed it a bit too hard there. I pulled a muscle. And it didn't go away. It kept nagging. And so I went in and went home.
You caught a wave home?
Yeah, I caught one in. Into the beach.
Having a heart attack, still catch a wave.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was a heart attack at that point. I just thought I'd pulled this muscle.
But you're like, well, who cooks toast out here? Why am I smelling toast? So you thought you pulled a muscle.
Pulled a muscle, man.
You drove yourself home?
Totally. Yeah, just went home, had a shower, came down, sat down to do some paperwork, and it happened. That's when it happened. It really happened.
Yeah.
I sit down and I get this crushing pain in the chest. You know that feeling? You know, I don't know, when you're a kid, you know, I used to have mates or my siblings, they'd sit on my chest and you just couldn't get them off.
Oh, when you play Stacks On. Yeah.
You got it. You got it. So I'm doing that and I get this pain in my chest, this cold sweat, this nausea, and I had no idea really what was happening. I didn't know the symptoms and it was scary and I'd never been here before. And I rang my wife, Rue, and I said, look, I'm not feeling too good. And I was like this little boy that cries wolf. And she goes, Adam, you just have a panic attack, you'll be fine. I said, nah, there's something really wrong here. I'll be home in about half an hour. I'm half an hour away. Anyway, got off. I knew it was too short. So I rang my mother-in-law. She drove me to hospital. Now, by the way, if it ever those symptoms happen to you, crushing chest, pain down the arm, nausea, cold sweat, don't drive yourself or have someone drive you to the hospital. Get an ambulance, okay?
Yeah.
000, you really need to be doing that. Anyway, I get to the hospital. They rush me in, strap me up to all of these wires, take some blood, come back, and they say, Adam, you've had a heart attack. And I'm going, I don't think so. Number one, I'm vegetarian. They meant to have the lowest risk. And I'm only 39 years of age. It can't happen. Sorry, Adam, but you've had one. And it was a shock. And it was panic and worry and fear all came up. And they kept me in overnight. Apparently I had a few more little goes overnight. They put me in a helicopter, flew me here to Sydney. And they rushed me in, go to put a stent in, because that's what happens when you have a heart attack. I actually wasn't fully blocked. And this is interesting. Most heart attacks don't happen when you've got when you're fully blocked.
Arteries are fully blocked is what you're talking about.
Yeah, the arteries are fully blocked. What with some cholesterol and plaque, what actually happens is underneath the endothelium cells, endothelial cells, which are the cells that line the inside wall of the artery, plaque just starts to build up there. And they become a little brittle. And if you get a little bit of thick blood or, you know, fatty blood or a bit of pressure happens there, they can tear. And when they tear, a blood clot forms to stop that tear, try to heal it. And that's what blocks the blood flow. And that's what happened to me. Now, I'm having this angiogram and I can see this little flap hanging in my artery because it's like this scan and you can see it. And they go to put this stent in, but it was too low on the heart, so they couldn't do it. So I said, well, how are we gonna heal this flap? What's gonna happen? It'll just heal like a cut on your hand after a few weeks. We'll keep you in hospital a bit longer. And they kept me in hospital, and I tell you, intensive care was one of the most safest places I've ever experienced. Like these ladies and guys that were nurses, before I knew what was going on, they knew. Like they were there, and then I'd experienced something and they were there and I felt totally safe. And then, you know, they put me out into the ward after about 5 or 6 days, and it was the scariest place I've ever been. No one was paying attention. I didn't know what was going on. So I left. I said, I'm going home. Went home. They send you away from hospital with 5 medications when you have a heart attack, and I took those religiously. But what happened? Like my mojo just totally disappeared, totally flat, and life was miserable, and the enthusiasm that I normally have just disappeared. And
well, you've also had a very traumatic experience. You've had a near-death experience. Did you have kids at the time?
Yeah, I've got three.
Yeah, so you're seeing it all. You're seeing the whole thing. You've had this incredibly traumatic experience.
Yeah.
And if you've got, as you mentioned, you've had a history of being a bit different when it comes to, you know, stress responses, that'll do it to you, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I went to the cardiologist after, this is what he said, the cardiologist, I said, look, I'm not feeling too good. My mojo's flat. It goes out in the side effects. And it's okay. But I've got to tell you this. You're going to be on medications for the rest of your life.
The statins and things?
Yeah. So you need to get used to it.
Lipitor, that sort of thing?
Yeah, Lipitor, all of those. I even forget the names of them now. I just don't want to go back there. But they were essential at the start to help that healing process. But I left there and, you know, I'm the sort of guy, if someone tells me that it's not possible, I want to try and find a way.
Yeah.
And I came home and I just Googled how to reverse heart disease with food. I thought being a chef and the food got me here, it's probably eating, you know, all the dairy and, you know, and the junk. It got me here. So maybe there's a clue there. So I came across, Dr. Furman was the first one I came across. He had a little subscription forum that you could do and you could chat to doctors, and he was talking about whole food plant-based diet, saying it would reverse disease, heart disease, and people were getting off meds. So I followed that, and I came across Caldwell Esselstyn, and I came across the China study, and I came across Forks Over Knives and the documentary, and especially the documentary Forks Over Knives, where it showed people who had had a heart attack when they were younger, went onto a whole food plant-based diet, which is a vegan diet but whole food, no junk food, and just food the way nature hands it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd reversed it. 25 years later, they looked younger than they did when they had the heart attack. And I thought, well, I can do this. So I started eating that way. And within a few months, I'm off all meds. Haven't had to take them since.
What were those meetings like with the doctor when you were going, talking about maybe taking, I want to come off the meds?
Well, I never went back to him. But I did go to my GP and I told him that I'd weaned myself off. Now, never wean yourself off them, okay? Never. But I did, and I was feeling better. And I went to the GP, and I said, can you check me out because I've done this? And he's saying, Adam, like if you – this was about 6 months after. He said, Adam, if you came in here today and I didn't know your history, you have no risk of heart disease. So I just stayed going that way. And I've never been back to that cardiologist. I should go back and let him know what's happened. But
you could save a lot of lives. But, you know, rather than him saying, here's five different medications, you go, look, I had one patient that this happened, massive bloke, had a huge heart attack, and he's amazing now. Do what he did. You know, you could save a lot of lives.
Well, that's my mission now. I wasn't given that choice.
Right.
I wasn't that's the given thing. The choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the thing. And I want people to know that there is a choice. I would love to see the day where you could walk into a cardiologist or a GP and say, here's a choice. You can take meds, which will keep you alive and your numbers will be okay. But there are some side effects. You probably won't feel as good as you've always felt, but they'll keep you alive and you can continue your lifestyle, which is
eating the same food.
Eating the same food and do all that. Or you can go on a whole food plant-based diet and you can actually reverse the disease. You can feel younger, look younger, have more energy, and feel great. But it will require a little bit of lifestyle change. But it's easy if you can start to develop the habit and learn how to do it and learn the principles. I would love to see that day. And then people have got the choice, because I believe everyone's got the choice to do whatever they want in life. You know, I've chosen this path, a whole food, plant-based, vegan diet, and it's worked extremely well for me. It may not be the only way, but it's definitely a way.
Have you spoken to many cardiologists in Australia about this?
Not in Australia, but some of the US guys, Dr. Kim Williams, he was the head of cardiology in the States. I can't remember the School of Cardiology. He was the outgoing president. He spoke in Melbourne 2 years ago, and they asked me to come and speak as a case study. And I interviewed him afterwards and I said, you know, how did this happen? How did this change? You know, I go from having heart disease to not having it. And he said, it's the plants, you know. He said, what happens with meat? He said, when you consume, he said, it's actually the saturated fats in the meat and the dairy and the high protein levels. Once you consume them over 5% of total calories, the Western's diseases start to happen. So it's the saturated fat and it's the high amount of protein, animal protein. Once they rave above 5% of total calories, then the Western's diseases, heart disease, diabetes, all start to happen, autoimmune diseases. But he said, as soon as you take away those poisons and start to add plants, which have phytonutrients, lots of antioxidants, it actually reduces inflammation. It's an anti-inflammatory diet. So he said, we think it's an anti-inflammatory diet, which it is, but he said, what's really happening? You're taking away the poisons. You take away the poisons that create the inflammation, then magic happens and the body just goes back to homeostasis and you become well.
Mm.
And that's exactly what's happened to you. So he's the only cardiologist, but a few of the other plant-based doctors have been out there and I've spoken with those guys at their conferences.
Do they call you up and ask you to come down? Are you a well-known guy in this?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a well-known guy in this yet, but if there's a doctor that's having a conference, they'll ask me, they'll call me and say, Adam, will you come speak?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm speaking at the Vegan Festival in Bali next month and I'm getting asked to speak a bit, which is cool. I'm loving it.
Mate, that's...
It's look, awesome.
it's important, you know, because I'm a guy in my 40s. I know guys.
Yeah.
I know men who are on these drugs and on them for life. Yet you're right in it's, you know, can we come to a point where the cardiologist gives the patient a choice? You know, you cannot change a thing and just take this pill forever.
Mm.
Or you could eat this way, because there's side effects to both choices. One of those side effects of the other choice is your suits, you're going to have to throw them all away because you won't fit them anymore because you're going to have to get them tailored to fit your hot new bod. You know?
Absolutely. That's what changes.
That's also a factor. I think I think I remember reading a quote somewhere. No cardiologist I know who has read the research I've read is still eating mate.
That's I would. Something I think like that would be true.
I'll have to find what it is. Something along those lines. And it's interesting you said Western diseases because you're right in that a lot of these things don't tend to happen in other cultures.
They're starting to.
Oh, really? Because as the Western diet becomes more aspirational.
Yeah, and their standard, the East, you know, Indonesia and India and all through Southeast Asia and Asia, their middle class is rising. So people are becoming more affluent and all the fast food joints are going in and that's part of the process.
Right.
And I think we're switching. I think it's switching. You know, we're becoming here in the West more like the East were. We're more interested in spirituality, meditation.
Well, in your circles, maybe, man. You lived in Indo for 3 years and you're a full vegan. So maybe your entire circle of influence is. But I had a meeting this morning at this extraordinary building. It's in Sydney at number 1 Bligh Street. It's like, I think the Sydney office of the Federal Treasurer is there and the Bloomberg's on the top floor. It's just nothing but big money dudes and ladies and it's a lot of steak lunches in that room, a lot of steak, a lot of, you know what I mean?
I know.
That's the lifestyle and that's the culture that's going on there. So you'd most definitely.
I think it's sad.
Well, I think it's
from
also
my point of view.
Well, I agree in that it's just information. It's just knowing what there is. I mean, we were in Brisbane on the weekend and as we were driving north, Audrey just says to me, there's nothing but fast food and car yards on Gympie Road. Nothing but fast food and car yards. And she's right, you know, because if that's in your face the whole time, you don't know that as far as you're concerned. If you've never kind of explored it, that's food. Mm. I'll eat it. Mm. But is it? Is it an everyday food? Probably not, you know, and I'm certainly one who I used to call it the window diet. If I could drive up to it, I would eat from it, you know. You did have an advantage, though, in that you were a chef and cooking techniques and prepping and chopping and things were very familiar to you.
True.
So, for someone who, you know, and I see it all the time when I go shopping, you know, we all do it. We all stare at what is that, someone else's shopping trolley. We have a look. You know, if someone's got a shopping trolley full of pre-cooked frozen meals and a couple of litres of soft drink, that person's going to have a hard time suddenly knowing, I don't know, how to cook a cauliflower.
That's true. And I bet if you close your eyes, you can picture that person.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I've just described to you their trolley, you can in your mind, you can choose what their body type might look like.
Absolutely. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that person, if they grew up that way, if they've never known anything but meat and three veg, it's going to be a frightening transition for them.
Absolutely. And I grew up with meat and three veg. And it is a frightening transition if you don't know, especially if you've always eaten that way. And especially now, younger people have hardly ever had to cook. At all. That skill has died. So is dying. And what happened was to keep me on track after I had that heart attack, I developed a little meal plan for myself.
Oh, yeah?
And then we put it up on iTunes and it went nuts. That was 5-6 years ago. And because I thought others, people.
As a book or?
As a like an app.
Oh, right.
And it's called I Feel Good. But what happened was, I would create myself a meal plan with 5 dinners, weeknight meals, and that gave me 2 nights I could go and eat out or go into friends' places or whatever. And the other 5, I'd make enough to have for lunch. So I was only making 1 meal and I have leftover for lunch, add some leaves to it for lunch. So we created that and that went, I thought other people might enjoy that too. So we put it up there and it did, it went crazy. And then a few years later, after I've been living this away quite a bit, we'd been in Bali.
Living in Bali?
That's interesting. So I had this heart attack, right? And after the heart attack, I go back into real estate. I start a boutique agency down in Berry. Someone said, Adam, I told him my situation, Adam, you just got to get back on the tools that you know what to do and do it. So I did. And I really enjoyed it. And then we sold that 3 years later because what happened was during that process when I had that business, I met a guy. Rue, my wife, bought me a bike and I started cycling with the local bike shop in Berry and on the Saturday morning rides. And there was a few guys there had done Kona, the Ironman, and another guy there had done 8. He hadn't done Konas, but he'd done 8 Ironman. And I get a phone call from him the next day and saying, Adam, we're going for a swim on Monday. We're training for another Ironman. Would you like to join us? And I'm still pretty big at this stage. It was a couple of years after the heart attack. And I said, cool, I'd love to join. That was a sport when I was swimming. I'll come and swim. Went down, we swam. He drove me home and then I told him about the heart attack. And he said, really? And you don't take any medications anymore? I said, no. He said, I'm a GP. That's really interesting to me. And he said, you know, it would be super cool to take you from a heart attack to an Ironman. I've done eight. I'm a GP. I can get you there. Do you want to do it? And I said, and secretly, I've always admired people that could do that. I used to watch it as a kid and thought I could never get that fitness ever. Yeah. So I said, yeah, I'll jump on the bandwagon and I'm in. Let's do it.
And how Adam got to the finish line of that Ironman, how he transformed himself physically, that is coming up in part two of the show, which will be out Wednesday this week. Find out more about what Adam's doing between now and then. Maybe jump on Instagram, tell him that you heard part one of the show. Adam Guthrie on Instagram, AdamGuthrie. You can also see what he does over at ifeelgood.com.au. I like things that do what they say on the box. Thanks everyone that helped me make the show today. Show producer is of course, the magnificent Rachel Barrett, audio producer Andy Marr, location logistics this week by Lauren Miller, music by Mike Mills, also known as Toe Hider, and you for just being here and being fabulous. No podcast, no audience. That's as simple as that. I'll see you on Tuesday, tomorrow night in Sydney for the School of Life gig. And we'll be back on Wednesday with part two of the show and Thursday in Melbourne. If you need anything between now and then, email me, sandosheremail@gmail.com. Until I speak next time with you, sleep well and dream of beautiful things.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.